bring us the message God's put on your heart.
Thank you for having me today. My name is Clayton Sutton, and my wife Sue is with me. Look forward to bringing you a message that God has put on my heart. Our God of comfort. And the scripture selection comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. But if you will, keep them open because I will refer to other verses in that same chapter. This is a very powerful reading that Isaiah writes, and it's about comfort and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we hear the word of the Lord. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we have just heard your word, we thank you for the entire Bible, but especially this passage today. May it speak to us, and may we open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive this message. In thy name we pray, amen. Everyone needs comfort from time to time. We experience physical pain sometimes. We may fall, children fall, or older people fall. As somebody said this morning, their mother fall. I'm sure we have all had injuries. I've had so many broken bones, I can't count them all, but I had injury, therefore I had pain. We can have pain because of diseases. You and I also suffer emotionally due to maybe a job loss, or maybe somebody close to us has passed away. Sometimes we suffer because of betrayal of a friend, or the countless other reasons. We're going to suffer, but we need God during that time of suffering. What do you do when life gets really hard? Most people react to situations very differently. We've seen people that are very good at taking suffering and pain. They can take it all in stride. But then we see people that just come unglued. Some people just can't hold it in, and they just show emotions differently. But there is only one sure way to cure a heartache, and that is with the Almighty God. The prophet Isaiah preached strong messages of rebuke throughout his book, but he also conveyed the tender heart of the Lord for his people. In Isaiah chapter 40, he describes the character qualities of God. You and I can approach the Father with confidence, knowing that he can handle any problem that we face, any problem, whether it's pain, whether it's spiritual problems, God can provide. He is the comforter of all comfort. Now, there are six descriptions of God as our comforter that the scripture talks about. God, number one, is eternal. The grass withers, according to verse 8 that I read. The flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We can stand on that promise from God. People live for only a short time and the world continues. But the world one day will pass away. But the Lord is everlasting. He always has existed and he always will exist. This is the significance of the I Am, the name which the Lord revealed to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14. Not only is God everlasting, but so is his word. That's why I base my life and that's why I base my preaching on the Bible. No other thing can I stand on, but I can stand on the word of God. I can preach about the word of God. The principles are not only powerful, but they are eternal. Secondly, God is sovereign. In verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with might and his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. At all times, God is in control of every situation. Sometimes we may not think he's there. Sometimes we wonder, God, where are you? We're going through dark times in our life and we just wonder. I had a lady ask me 2 weeks ago. She said, preacher, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And where is God when I need him? I said, he's right there. Hug him. He's right there beside you. I said, have you ever felt light on your feet? She said, certainly. I said, that's him carrying you. God is sovereign. For our limited perspective, it may look like that he's not. We don't always understand his purposes. We don't always understand why this trial has to happen. We don't understand why we have to go through things that we go through. However, God's got the big picture. I was doing a communicants class for some young people wanting to become baptized and members of the church. And I made that statement and I read that verse and they said, what do you mean God has the big picture and we don't? I said, okay, think of the Empire State Building. Has anybody ever seen the Empire State Building? And every one of them had seen pictures of it and two of them had been there. And it's like this. We're on the ground floor. We can only see a certain amount, right? When we get up to the 10th floor, you can see just a little bit more. The picture becomes a little bit clearer of what New York is all about. But when you get up to the top floor, you can even go out up into a balcony up top. And they've got fences up now, so you can't jump. But God can see so much more than we can see, even from the top floor of the Empire State Building. All we can see is just right there in Lower Manhattan. You can see across just certain areas. But you can see, definitely see more than the first floor. But God can see everything. We can turn to Him with confidence in the midst of heartache and trouble, knowing that He has the power to change everything. He sees us in our need, and He wants us to have comfort. Thirdly, the picture of our comfort is a shepherd. Like a shepherd, verse 11 tells us, He will tend His flock in His arms. He will gather the lambs and carry them in His bosoms. He will gently lead those that have children. A shepherd cares for and protects his flock. And we've seen that picture in our minds of Jesus, the great shepherd. We see that picture of David, the great shepherd, back in the Old Testament days. And we know he grew to be a great king. He was a great shepherd. But there's only one great, great, all-powerful, all-knowing shepherd of the human flock. When Jesus spoke about being the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11, He was revealing the heart of God the Father. The Lord desires to carry us through hardship and difficulties in our lives. The Lord is our shepherd, as the 23rd Psalm says. Fourthly, He is omniscient. Verses 13 and 15 tells us, Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or His counselor has informed Him. The nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, He lifts up the islands like fine dust. God is, He's transcendent. He reigns over all that exists. You can't climb high enough mountains here on this earth to see what God can see. The highest mountain here in United States, isn't it, Pikes Peak? And you can climb up to that and you can only see a certain amount. But God can see everything. We can only see the horizon. But God observes the entire world at once. His wisdom and His knowledge are more than we can comprehend at times. There's nothing He does not know. God is all-knowing. You may wonder if God has forgotten about you or is unaware of your needs. But He does know your situation, and He knows mine. The fifth principle and picture of God as our comforter, God is omnipotent. It is He who sits above the circle of the world, verses 22 and 23 tells us. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. It is He who reduces rulers to nothing. It is He who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. We worship an all-powerful God. There's no other God greater than Him. The Hindus have their God. The Muslims have their God. But we worship the one true God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our Maker and our Creator and Sustainer of life itself. That's who we worship. We are foolish to turn to worldly things for comfort. When we can rely upon our all-powerful, all-knowing, all-caring God. And the sixth picture of our comforter, as painted on a portrait by Isaiah, is God is tireless. Verse 28 says, "The everlasting God, the Lord and the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." Humans run out of energy. And you can't cut on a television program right now without seeing that. Take this 5-hour energy drink and you'll become so great and you can leap tall buildings. But I tell you, God doesn't need 5-hour energy drinks. God is greater than anything man can put on. We can approach God with the same situation over and over. And look how many billions of people it is on this earth. And let's say 200 million or 300 million are praying to God. The rest are praying to their God or their atheist. But God is listening to 250 to 300 million people all at one time and can answer prayers. He's tireless. He doesn't need an energy drink. He doesn't need rest. We humans need rest. The Lord doesn't always respond instantaneously to our prayers, our request. But He does so in His time, not ours. We don't have the big picture. We don't know what God's plan is for us down the road. We just know that God has us here for a purpose, and we just need to seek God's will and His purpose in our lives. He allows us to come to a point of desperation sometimes. Haven't you been so desperate for God to answer your prayers, and you say, "God, are you going to answer me?" I know I have. Be honest. You've been desperate enough. Trust God. Trust Him completely. He is tireless. Now let's look at the promises of our Comforter. There's two. He promises us strength in our weariness. Verse 29 says, "He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power." God gives us energy when we feel exhausted. You know, God is so great. We do get tired. We do need Him. We do need a pick-me-up sometimes, but you know, we have human bodies. I don't know if it's good for us to drink those 5-hour drinks so much, but we can rest in God and become, as He says, re-energized when we are exhausted. This passage is not saying that believers will never become weary, never become physically tired, but waiting on God means that we can persistently follow His will for our lives. We can continually do it, despite the fact that some of our desires are unmet. We must trust God to work according to His timing. And the second promise that we need to gather from this chapter 40 that Isaiah paints Verse 31 says, and I like this verse, our faith enables us to mount up with wings like eagles. As these majestic birds use the wind's energy to fly through storms, fly above storms, we can rely on God to sustain us in times of heartache and difficulty and storms in our lives. By faith, you and I have the ability to rise above our circumstances. Even when serving the Lord becomes routine, we can feel unappreciated sometimes. Do you ever get that way, feel unappreciated? Maybe at work, maybe at a family member. Sometimes we husbands might take our wives for granted for maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, then we get reminded. Maybe our wives get, I don't want to dig myself too big a hole. But maybe the wives take the husbands for granted once in a while. We're not as apt to remind the wives as they are to remind us, right, men? But sometimes God is calling on us to focus on what is real in our lives and important. Our families, our jobs, our love for Him, and our serving Him. Like the eagle who sets his eye on the prey, we can stay focused on God's purposes and His callings in our lives. You and I succeed when we allow the Lord to sustain us through anything and everything. He gives us the capacity to keep going without losing heart. We've all been down and out. We've all felt like that we've had a challenge. We felt like maybe losing heart. But God gives us, He sustains us through anything. He gives us the strength to carry on. Now, what words describes the mighty God who calls Himself our comforter, our shepherd? One was eternal. He has no beginning and will never have an end. Secondly, was sovereign. The Lord controls all circumstances here on this earth. Next was, He is a shepherd. He nurtures and He cares for us so tenderly. As one who watches over His flock. Next, He is omniscient. God knows all things. He is so knowledgeable. He knows us. He knows every hair on our head, as somebody prayed a while ago. He knows every person by name. He knows our strengths and He knows our weaknesses. God knows all things, so our circumstances never catch Him off guard. He is omnipotent. He has all power to help us. He is tireless. We never have to worry that He'll run out of energy to handle our needs. So there's your 6 descriptions of God as our comforter, as told to us and described to us by Isaiah. He paints a very great picture of a mighty, mighty Savior and a great comforter. God calls to us, mount up with wings like an eagle, to learn to rely on His strength in the midst of life's storms. Have you discovered how to lean on Him, or are you still trying to lean on yourself? Are you still trying to depend on your human element to bring you through everything? God's right there. Why not use Him? Why not depend on Him to help you when you can't help yourself? God longs to give you the ability to persevere with gladness despite heartache and despite trials. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul says, no matter how bad things get, God means it for good. And God can use every situation for good. Now, how can he use a bad thing for good? Just let him show you. Let him lead you the way. Ask the Father to show you how to trust him, to work through you. Let go of the illusion that you can make it without the Lord, because none of us can. His awesome power is available when you learn to rely on our God, our Comforter. God is our Comforter, and we can thank him and praise him and bless his holy name. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we once again praise you for your love, for your comfort, for your guidance. And we love you, Father, and thank you for loving us. And we thank you for your word as it comes to us from Isaiah and all the scripture that you dictated to your people. And Father, we thank you. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, number 215, I love to tell the story. If you haven't given your life to Christ and would love to do so, please do so. Come forward this morning and ask God for forgiveness of your sins. He will surely accept that request. He would be delighted, and so would your church brothers and sisters in Christ. I love to tell the story, 215.